Let's stand for the reading of God's holy word. It's always good to be in the house of the Lord. It's always good to be under the sound of the preaching of the word of God. It's always good to be in a meeting where people are praying to God in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's always good to be in a meeting where God's people are singing the songs of Zion. And we need this more and more. And I would encourage all of you to get back to what the old church, the ancient church, used to do. And that is meet every day from house to house, proclaiming the gospel and encouraging the saints. Easter, according to the Nicene Creed, Part 19, this may very well be our last message in this series, but I may make it part 20 as well. The Just Jesus Evangelistic Campaign, day 750 of preaching the gospel since January the 20th, 2017. / day 1115 since January the 1st, 2016, proclaiming the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and preaching the word, the whole counsel of God. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. This is the inspired word of God, like no other book on earth. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren. This is a part of the gospel. This is why we took the liberty at Gospelite Society to add this portion to the Nicene Creed. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, and this is an important part of the gospel. It shuts down the naysayers and the agnostics, the unbelievers, the skeptics, eyewitness testimony, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James. This is important. Then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also as one born out of due time. Only God can write like that through a man. These are powerful words. And only God can fix it like that through the power of the Holy Spirit using a man such as Paul. Holy Father, God in heaven, we give you the glory, the praise, and the honor for all of it is due your holy name. Lord, I am beside myself with excitement, even in the midst of tribulation, even in the midst of persecution, even in the midst of enemies who should be supporting me, attacking me, even in the midst of Judases and Sanballats and Tobiases and unhappy people who claim to be Christians. Lord, I love it all, and I thank you for it all, because I know the reason why it's there. The devil wants me to get distracted. The devil wants me to stop preaching your gospel 2 and 3 times a day. And he's mad about it. And with the advent of the internet and social media, I think he's running out of demons. He doesn't have enough demons to catch up with everything that's going out of here. And so he's been fighting me like never before. But I thank you for the sweet victory that you have given to me down through the years. 40 years now. Thank you for the joy on last night, Lord, and the celebration as well afterwards. We had, Lord, for allowing me to preach on prayer 350 Wednesday nights or Wednesdays in a row. And I give you the glory, praise, and honor. Thank you for allowing me to preach the gospel with that message every Wednesday as well. And thank you for the souls saved, the Christians encouraged to pray. It has been reported to me that many have been encouraged to pray because of that series. And oftentimes, Lord, you'll have a preacher, you'll have a prophet to stand flat-footed and to just do something as a symbol to remind people about you and what you want done. And Holy Father God, we pray. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for that celebration afterglow dinner, dubbed such by Rodney Queen. Lord, what a celebration it was. What a great spaghetti meal. We've been having spaghetti on Wednesdays, Lord, for 30 years almost. And I give you the glory, praise, and honor for that as well. And thank you for allowing us to celebrate and to have a good time. In light of what you have done, in the struggles, the battles, for 350 Wednesdays of preaching on prayer, there have been many, many attacks of Satan, the devil, enemies, and Judases. But you brought us through. Through fires and through tribulations and through troubles and almost not making it, getting it done by your grace. And Lord, we pray now that in this, possibly the last message in this series, starting back in Holy Week, we pray that you would demonstrate the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, forgive us of our sins, our trespasses, our transgressions, as we from our hearts by your grace forgive those who have sinned against us. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Fill us with the fullness and the power of your Holy Spirit to preach your holy word and to hear your holy word and to do it. And we pray for 3 million souls, over 3 million souls, to hear the gospel and to be saved. 3 million Christians to be revived, your holy name glorified on the various platforms. I'm told some 13 platforms live and on demand. We give you the glory, praise, and honor. Thank you, Lord, for those who come, some every day. Thank you, Lord, for those who send up likes and hearts and shares and how they invite others, and some gather around various devices around the world in every nook and cranny of the world, from Russia to the Philippines, from China to Nigeria. Lord, thank you for helping us to be here for the martyrs of your church who have no place to go and worship in safety. They have been pushed into the homes in Sri Lanka, as so many of us will have to do in the future. So Lord, give us your grace. Glorify your holy name. And save those who are lost and revive those who are saved. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, regarding 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 11, Dr. Thomas Constable said, by denying the resurrection, the Corinthians were following neither Apollos or Cephas nor Christ. They were pursuing a theology of their own. Pardon me, like so many people do today. The point of this passage was to present the gospel message, including the account of Jesus' resurrection, as what many reliable eyewitnesses saw with their own eyes. And all of the apostles preached. Paul did this to stress that Jesus' resurrection had objective reality, not to prove that he rose from the dead, even though Paul had a different background from the other apostles. He heralded the same message they did, that Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, was buried according to the scriptures, and rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. Consequently, his original readers did not need to fear that what they had heard from him was some cultic perversion of the truth. It was the true gospel, and it is still the true gospel. Amen, somebody. And they should continue to believe it, and so should you. So today, ladies and gentlemen, in our last message, hopefully, in this rather long series, starting on the first day of Holy Week, today we are continuing our series drawn from the Word of God, the Holy Bible, and a historical text based on the Word of God, the Holy Bible, that was passed down from the early church all the way to us today. The Nicene Creed. In this series, we are talking about the importance of the historical Christian faith that was passed down to us from the early church. How that we as Christians, sadly, who are falling away from it all, ought to return to it all. And every time I say that, I'm reminded of Aretha Franklin singing that old hymn, "We need to go back to the old landmarks." I used to hear it when I was a child in Brooklyn, New York, on Sunday mornings. I didn't know, had no idea what it meant, but now I do. And we do need to go back to the old landmarks. We need to focus on the truths of the gospel. We ought to return to it, and how that the world ought to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ and the truth of the gospel, in hopes that they would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and get their soul saved from eternal punishment in hell to eternal bliss in heaven with God. Now, beloved, regarding the importance of creeds in the church, and my oldest son, Daniel White IV, apparently saved the best one for last, because this one is truly the best quote so far regarding the importance of creeds. Dr. Andrew J. Spencer said, "Scripture is the ultimate authority. But when the creeds are rightly presented, they connect us to the theologians who were wrestling with the Bible in light of the controversies of their day. The creeds help us to interpret Scripture rightly, to avoid the heresies that drove the creation of the creedal statements in the first place. Creeds do not replace the authority of Holy Scripture." Amen, somebody. "They help ensure continuity of the correct interpretation of Scripture," end of quote. And I might add, so that we won't have to fight the same battles they fought over and over again. So it's a good thing, and some of us need to get back to it. In this series, beloved, we have looked at the following factual statements from the Nicene Creed based upon the Word of God, the Holy Bible, that you should have in your house or on your phone. I never thought I would see the day that the Bible would be on a little gadget in our hands. Be that as it may, we believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. This is what I believe. And I say with Martin Luther, "Here I stand, and I can't do anything else but stand right here." And in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, begotten from the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of the same essence as the Father. Let me hear you say, "Here I stand, here I stand." Through him all things were made for us and for our salvation. He came down from heaven. He became incarnate by the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made human. Here I stand. He was crucified for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered, died, and was buried. The third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures. Here I stand. And here's what we at Gospel Light Society International added, and had the liberty to do so. He was seen alive by Mary Magdalene and the other women, the disciples, and over 500 other brethren. Here I stand. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again with glory to judge the living and the dead. His kingdom will never end. Here I stand. I can do no other. And we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life. He proceeds from the Father and the Son, and with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified. Here I stand. He spoke through the prophets. Here I stand, and I will not be moved. How about you? This is what we believe as Bible-believing Christians. And today, ladies and gentlemen, as briefly as I can, we will wrap up this series by looking at the final section of the new Nicene Creed, which reads as follows. We believe in one holy, universal, and apostolic church. We affirm one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look forward to the resurrection of the dead and to life in the world to come. Amen. Here I stand. I can do no other. From these words, ladies and gentlemen, we see the promise of the resurrection in John chapter 5, verses 28 and 29 in the Holy Word of God, the Bible. Jesus Christ said, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." These are the words of Jesus Christ. Yes, he used that kind of language to make his point clear. And don't you ever fool yourself. Even the greatest writers of all time, Shakespeare and Tolkien, C.S. Lewis and others, can't write anything like that. Could not have written anything like that. This comes down from God Almighty. That's why you need to read your Bible. You're reading the very words of God. Just as Jesus Christ was physically raised from the dead, everyone will be physically raised from the dead one day. We often emphasize that death is not the end for someone's spirit, but the Bible teaches that death is not the end for our bodies either. When Jesus Christ rose from the dead, the power of death over the human race was finally broken. Can somebody say amen? The great English writer, Dr. J.R.R. Tolkien, by the way, a movie after his name is opening tomorrow, if the Lord should tarry his coming, and we live, and if you love languages like J.R.R. Tolkien did, for he was a lover of languages, ancient languages, and a gifted writer. Tolkien coined a new term to describe such an event, and he called it a eucatastrophe. A eucatastrophe. That is a sudden reversal of a certain catastrophic ending. All of us who place our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ will take part in the resurrection unto life. Can somebody say amen? I believe it, and here I stand. I can do no other. We will one day rise from our graves. Just as death could not hold Jesus, it will not hold us, because we're in Jesus. Can somebody say amen? In St. John chapter 6, verse 39, Jesus Christ said, "This is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day." We also see the assurance of eternal life. In John 10:28, Jesus Christ said, "I give unto them his followers eternal life, and they shall never perish." We may not be able to say that we are certain about much in our lives on this earth, but we can say that we are certain about eternal life, because the assurance of eternal life rests in none other than Jesus Christ and Him alone. Amen, somebody. In the Holy Bible, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." It doesn't matter whether you believe what I'm reading to you from the Holy Bible. It's my job to preach it to you. And I get 100% satisfaction from preaching the truth to you. It doesn't matter to me, as it didn't matter to Ezekiel when God told him that he should not be concerned about their faces. Whether you fix up your face or you're mad or you're sad or depressed doesn't has nothing to do with what I'm saying to you. And the word of God is still true, no matter how you feel about it, whether you believe it or not. Here I stand, I can do no other. To an inheritance, back to the word of God, incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Somebody who is saved ought to say amen right there. On earth, food has an expiration date. Machines wear out. I don't care how much you paid for them, and get rusty. Houses become victims to mold and decay and termites. Money dwindles and our bodies grow weaker with age. And I don't care who you are or what kind of pills you're taking. But in heaven we are promised an inheritance, my beloved, that cannot be corrupted and that never fades away. Everything is new and shiny and got that new car smell, if you will, every day. We who are saved by faith and kept by the power of God will receive this eternal inheritance and be able to enjoy it forever. Amen, somebody. Dr. David Guzik said, "We cannot experience this inheritance," listen to him carefully, "unless we are born again." Have you been born again? Have you been saved? Do you know God? Do you know Jesus? Here's a quick way to find out whether or not you know God. Has He said something to you today? Have you said something to Him today? Is He bothering you about something in your life that should not be there? A man that you are not to be with, a woman that you are not to be with, your tendency towards homosexuality, your so-called same-sex attraction, your closeted life, your default mode of lying. Every time you open your mouth is a lie. You lie so much you believe the lies yourself and get mad at other people when they don't believe your lies. Has He spoken to you about something? Has He convicted you about something? Are you troubled? On the other hand, if you're walking with the Lord right, are you filled with peace that passes all understanding, even though you're catching hell? You have joy, even though people are turning against you and hate you and despise you and persecute you. Then maybe you're born again. It would be like, Brother Guzik goes on to say, it would be like rewarding a blind man by showing him the most beautiful sunset or taking him to an art museum to see the beautiful paintings. Unregenerate man does not have the capacity to enjoy this inheritance, incorruptible. This wonderful eternal life with eternal rewards is reserved only for those who have placed their faith and trust in none other than Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, the King of kings, and Lord of lords. Have you done that today? Our dear brother Isaac Watts said these words, "Happy the man to whom his God no more imputes his sin, but washed in the Redeemer's blood, hath made his garments clean. His spirit hates deceit and lies. His words are all sincere. He guards his heart, he guards his eyes to keep his conscience clear. Happy beyond expression, he whose debts are thus discharged, and from the guilty bondage free, he feels his soul enlarged." Amen, somebody. Let's all stand for prayer. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your holy word. Thank you, Lord, for reminding us of the great truths of the faith. Based upon your holy word, the Holy Bible, the Nicene Creed. Lord, help people who have gotten away from the central truths of your holy scriptures to utilize this tool created by your servants to focus in on Jesus Christ and the main truths of Holy Scripture. For they could have a way of drawing people back to the main thing. Lord, demonstrate the power of your Holy Spirit. However you want to do it, Lord, do it. For your glory, praise, and honor, save those who are lost. Revive those who are saved. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. You may be seated. Now, dear friends, if you're with us today and you do not know our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in Him, Jesus Christ, for your soul's salvation from sin and hell. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We all have failed God. We're all guilty before God. You do not have the right to look down your nose at others. You're just as wicked as others. Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty, there is a punishment for sin always. You will be paid for your sins one day. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Our payday someday is death to these beautiful bodies. Death to so many things before you die. Death to marriages. Death to relationships. Death to material things. You will experience 1,000 deaths before you die because of sin. But ultimately you will die physically. Your body will be put in a cold, dark grave. And that ought to be frightening because it is frightening. But more frightening is that your soul, if it dies without Christ, will go to a burning hell to spend eternity in a dark place, even though there's fire. You say, "Preacher, I don't believe that a loving God would put people in the hell." Well, Jesus Christ, the loving and lowly one, preached more on hell than he did about heaven. Jesus Christ, the loving one and the lowly one, preached more on hell than any prophet in the Bible. He said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Also, the Bible says in Revelation 21:8, "But the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Whatever you do, don't experience the second death, because it's bad news. Hell is bad news, but I have good news for you. You don't have to go to hell. Jesus suffered and bled and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again on the third day, and he said these words to you before he left here. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, that is, perish in hell, but have everlasting life. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou and you shalt be saved. Pray and ask Jesus Christ to save your soul and to come into your heart and change your life. He will do it. Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered and bled and died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose again, and you're ready to trust him as your Savior, pray and ask him to save you, and he will. I'll be glad to lead you in prayer in what is called the sinner's prayer, or the prayer of salvation. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Let's pray. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner, and that I have done evil in your sight. I am guilty because I have broken your Ten Commandments, your law. I've taken your holy name in vain. I've dishonored and disobeyed and disrespected my own parents. I have lied many times before. I have lusted after people and things and what others have. I've stolen things before. So Lord, that's 5 to 6 commandments I've already broken out of your Ten Commandments. And so please have mercy and grace upon me. For your holy Son's sake, Jesus Christ, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart, the best way that I know how, in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered and he bled and he died on the cross for my sins, was buried and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past, and help me to turn from my evil ways. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day, allow me to say to you, dear friend, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. And Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you. We love you. And may God bless you real good until next time. Now, I may be traveling here over the next few days, but I will resume preaching as soon as I get back, and I will do some preaching while I'm on the road. So thank you so much for your prayers. Please continue to pray for us, and we will continue to pray for you. God bless you. Until next time, keep the faith.
I don't know why Jesus loved me.